Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Can you believe it? I'm shooting during the day. Now, the benefits are wide. The only drawback is the sun and the thermals create a little bit of wind. So I'll try to get some samples of wind, and then we'll pull it out of the final product. So today is going to be something called the Hall of Blame. For you super, super OG listeners, this will be familiar. But we are at the absolute peak of the Hall of Blame. So what is it? Well, I've never given it that name, but I've described it a couple times. So there's a movie out there that has a character named Kaiser Sose. And it's a movie where this fake boogeyman was built up the entire film, and you find out he's not even real. He's just a fake boogeyman. So the reason to do that is that the real people who are hurting you, well, they get to keep doing what they're doing. Because you don't know they exist. Now, as much as we know, probably some very accurate names of people, although you never know, man. What if the Rothschilds don't even exist? It's just a fake bunch of stuff since they own the books and they own the internet way before it was ever out there. They pre-plan the whole thing, create all these fake families, fake people. I mean, you know, it's possible, right? But this analogy is very simple. The best way to describe this is sort of a hospital ward. And what it is, it's a long hallway. It could be as long as you need it to be. As you go down this hallway, there are two doors. And then, you know, 10, 12 feet, another two doors, 10, 12 feet. So basically we have opposing rooms, you know, down the hallway, almost like a school. And the reason why we're going to make this a hospital is because it has a lot of metaphor. But most important, at the very end of the hallway, they're the crash doors for the emergency room. This hallway already exists inside your mind. It exists in my mind. Now, whether or not you make it to the end is predetermined by how awake you are. Now, in the end, there's going to be a little bit of mystery. But overall, we're going to have the last room figured out, primarily. But this room is designed specifically to make you stop walking down the Hall of Blame as quickly as possible. To sell you a paradigm against a paradigm. Now, I'm going to localize this to America because I don't know all the buzzwords for foreign countries. So you just liken this to your country. I think most people have to tolerate the United States as news. Understand we have two parties. We have the Republican Party, which is supposed to be conservative, and we have the Democratic Party, who's supposed to be more liberal. Currently in the 2021, the Democratic Party's gone completely fucking insane, and the Republican Party is pretty much turning what we call a rhino, which is a person that actually is a Democrat in sheep's clothing. All designed to take money for themselves and sell the country to other countries, that sort of thing. Both sides are bad, is what I'm trying to say. The only people that have it right are perhaps the citizens. So walking down this hallway, man, and the first two doors we come to are opposing in metaphor perfectly. Over there is the right. It's got the red symbolism on it. It's got a big elephant in there. Everyone you've ever seen from George Bush Sr., Jr., everybody's in there. Over on the left, you got your Barack Obamas, your Bill Clinton's, plus all the senators and congressmen. They're also icons in those parties. Whether they be good people or bad people, don't know. So they want you to stop. They want you to immediately align so hardcore with left-right party paradigm that you're like, it's those people right there. They're the reason why everything sucks in the world. All right. Consequently, they may want you to side with the other side that you don't accuse. But as long as you stop walking down this hallway, you could be a person saying it's both sides of the camp. They're in the same group together. Fucking idiot. They could be in the same group together. They don't care as long as you stop walking. Stop searching for who is responsible for your problems in life. Or everyone's problems in life, right? So let's keep walking. Because there's a few of these doorways, aren't there? Now, from this point forward, for Americans, everything I'm about to tell you is still bucketed in those first two doors. A right-wing thing or a left-wing thing. But they have names after that point. It's left-wing military, right-wing military, left-wing religion, right-wing religion, left-wing race tolerance in their perspective, right-wing race intolerance. Another big famous one moving forward is religion. Right? Religion takes a little bit of effort to learn anything about it. It takes enlightenment to apply it to yourself in any way, shape, or form, right? Again, if someone is telling you the truth, in metaphor, they may think that the three little pigs existed and that Goldilocks existed. So the idea is that if you could learn something about a Grimm Brother tale about don't wander into the forest, good bad things can happen to you. Build your house out of bricks, you know. You're still getting the information that you need to live a better life. Whether you think it's real or not, whatever. I don't think it's real, but I still learned a lesson from it. The boy you call Wolf. I'm sure that story actually happens. I know it's happened in my life several times. People keep sending out false flares, and then they want you to take the real one serious, right? So in religion, typically in America, we have a fairly clean break for Christianity, but you have within that break, which is the right side, all the different versions of Christianity. We have churches that don't dance. We have churches that do dance. We have churches that have snakes as part of the ritual. On the left, you have usually an atheist, someone who actively does not believe that God exists and will lament and wax poetic for years about how much God doesn't exist. When if God doesn't exist, then sort of just move on with your life, right? But the other super extremist on that side, to counterbalance perhaps some Topeka, Kansas crazy nutbag Christian inbred family, which does exist there, at least did, is your Satanists. And so what is that? Well, it's a group of people that do not believe in Satan, necessarily. They do not believe in Jesus Christ. They just believe, get what's yours, and move on. Don't worry about anybody else. Just get what's yours. Well, that means anything goes. They want to have sex with your kids. They can. They want to just kill you. They can. If they can think up a fun little ritual, they'll do it. A little Maria Abramovich soiree, right? What you're going to find is that there's a thread going through all of these rooms in the end. But we're not there yet. So you'll find people that actually believe that churches of Satan should be installed in every major city, which then immediately yields missing children and missing women, typically. Children of both sexes, women because men are harder to kidnap. Okay. Just, you know, you can point either way. You probably should point both ways, but ignore it because you're not getting to the systemic cause of this all, in my opinion. Well, let's move up. Next pair of doors. Let's go for corporations and capitalism, right? So on one side, you got like the right-wing side, which is just capitalism, which kids don't understand what capitalism is. They have no clue. I've said it several times on the show. What is capitalism? Well, you got an idea. And it's going to take a lot of money to create your idea or to test your idea to see if it's even worthy of moving into production. You don't have that money. And before you think this is still a scam, All right. When you were 10 years old, didn't you want to do something that would have cost $100 million? You know, I'm going to make an amusement park. It's going to be huge. I want a video game that lasts 90 years, you know. Even the smallest little brain can spend millions and millions of dollars in 2 seconds. The art of becoming successful is to create something that is feasible, that you can get people to give you money for. Then you need to realize you didn't have the money to realize your idea. So this notion that you own your company 100% when you didn't have the money to pay for it is sort of cognitive dissonance within a financial environment. But that's all capitalism is. You can't pay for the big idea you have. Now, if you do what Ross Perot does, or did, you save up. You save up, save up, save up, and keep your mouth shut. Keep innovating. Beg, borrow, steal like Walt Disney did. What's on the other side? Oh, you got foundations, 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 nonprofits. They're all angelical, right? The Hillary Foundation is the best-run foundation in the whole world, right? Never mind her people getting caught stealing kids in Hades. The Haitians trying to kill all of her executives, and they paid off the security staff to just absolutely obliterate hundreds of people. I watched the videos that were being leaked into Twitter. They didn't know what they were, so they didn't censor them. Feeding people to pigs, just like in Deadwood. Except it was like a couple hours before I saw it, right? These blowhard groups like Greenpeace that are selling you a carbon taxation system to make sure that you can't afford to have a kid. That life becomes extremely difficult. But both of these groups have systemic problems in them. They do. I had a guy, you know, come in and instead of writing a check and getting us started, told another guy that we had convinced to give us $7 million not to do that. And this guy nickel and dimes us. And I mean nickel and dimes us. And then just like we cut off checks and turn on checks just to make sure that we were over a barrel. So both sides can have some horrible outcomes if you don't know what you're doing. And there's evil everywhere. There's evil in churches. There's evil in political parties. And it's everywhere, right? All right, let's keep going. Let's go to the next one, which didn't exist last time I gave this. At least it didn't exist in a way that we all knew about it, right? Which are these activist groups. Activist groups that do things. Well, the funny thing is that you have some groups that don't do anything but show up and just sort of try to protect the Constitution. But from one side of the fence, that's a horrible thing to do. And of course, they program these kids to think thoughts for the other people. Well, that person thinks this, so I hate them. All this when they have no evidence that that person's ever had that thought. But you got your fascist Antifa. You got your summer camp BLM brainwashed children. Literally brainwashed. The leaders were brainwashed in a camp for 20 fucking years to believe a bunch of weird shit. All the men in these camps were feminized. The peer pressure that they instigated in these groups. And I'll show you a picture that no one's ever seen. With the BLM leader right there in the front row. Or over to the left, at least, of the photograph. But they're showing up to create this controlled opposition, right? They're there to say, okay, George Soros wants to burn down cities. He wants businesses to be hurt. He's just a puppet too. I'm not saying it doesn't need to be horizontal, but he's just a puppet. So he puts together these groups, he funds these things, and lo and behold, there's a rationale on TV. The press, which is everyone's consciousness who hasn't awakened, who hasn't taken the red pill, it's telling them how their brain works, right? So they're looking at something that should put them in shock. Why is Seattle, Washington burning down? Why is Portland, Oregon on fire? Why are they trying to lock cops inside the police station and burn it down? Well, it's all okay as long as CNN says it's okay, right? And so they literally don't have a script in their brain. The people that think this stuff is good, or a lot of people, they're just straight asleep. They don't have anything. And so they watch TV and it tells them the words that are inside their head. On the right, we have groups that I don't know if they are truly right or not, but there's disinfo groups. There are opportunists making websites with a bunch of fake news on them. Truly fake, crazy news. And they're milking people with certain alignments in the world. And so they will get you to say something you shouldn't probably be saying. Because it's not true. It'll make you look stupid. And I will say, there are movements out there on the internet that have really helped me understand the gullibility of friends of mine. And so I can say, okay, I can take certain information from these folks, most generally their opinion about how they want the world to be. But in terms of them giving me a fact, because they believe this other stuff that I think is completely crazy, I'm just going to prorate that information to say, okay, maybe this is true. Maybe they got some good information from somebody, but I need to double, triple, quadruple check it because they also believe everything that they're told, as long as someone says, I'm aligned with you. Now, one of the classic ones I used to mention was the military-industrial complex, which may not have a left-right door. There's definitely some left-right people in these things. It doesn't really matter, does it? Now, supposedly in 2021, it matters. Supposedly, again, there's like 3/4 of it. Those folks are all at the command structure, not your friends and family who are in service. They're good people just trying to do the right thing, you know. But the command structure seems to have bowed down. Although, again, there's individuals like 107 who say it's not happened. That they're just waiting for something. And then all a bunch of stuff's going to take place. But before any of this recent 3.5-year movement came around, well, they got us into wars, didn't they? We now know, above board, that Pearl Harbor was orchestrated. That the two Navy admirals that got their fleets out of the way so that Honolulu could be bombed by the Japanese both received the naval equivalent of the Congressional Medal of Honor from the President Roosevelt within 45 days of moving their fleets out of the way to let Japan come down. To create a pretext for the American people to say, we got to get those Japs, right? We embargoed the Japanese oil supplies and a bunch of other things, forcing them to come down and do what they've did. And you mean to tell me they traveled from Japan to Honolulu in secret? I mean, I know that 1941 technology wasn't like satellite technology and stuff, but give me a break. We would know. We had fleets out there. We knew exactly where they were. And even a family friend of mine came to me later and goes, yeah, I totally dug that up. And totally not a conspiracy theorist whatsoever. Or at least he doesn't believe any that we believe. Now, we know that just prior to that, you know, 1913, Franz Ferdinand gets knocked up. But that was a European thing. I'm really going to try to stick to America here. We know that the Korean War was just another way to milk a bunch of money out of the United States. It was, as I understand it, started by a French contingency. We move in as a police action. The French leave within 2 months, and we're stuck in there for, 4 years? We did get a great television show called MASH out of it. Fast forward to, 64, 63, really? And JFK, who kept us out of Vietnam War, he gets murdered. LBJ, in exchange for being able to get rid of his opponent, cites the two fake Gulf of Tonkin events, two events that are now fully above board as fake events to start a war that we were in for technically 11 years. Bust, you know, over 100,000 American troops. I think we lost, 70,000 kids under 19 or 19 years old. So it ends for a little while. We move up to the Desert Storm thing. Saddam Hussein, a CIA asset who was installed by us to make sure that region had some stability in terms of what the military-industrial complex wanted, but also to put pressure on Iran the whole time, excuse me. He asked the State Department permission to invade Kuwait, citing that this was their original land, and the State Department gave him a thumbs up. He invades Kuwait. Saudi Arabia calls the State Department and goes, you want to have OPEC problems right away here? Because we can't have this guy getting any stronger. you don't control them as much as you think you do. You need to get them out. So the State Department calls him and says, we screwed up. You shouldn't be in there. You're freaking out Saudi Arabia. You know, and they're a friend of ours, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, sorry, man. We're all over this city. People are so joyous to be back in the envelope of Iraq. Whether or not that's true or not, I doubt it. Then they had all these fake stories in the Senate about people being tortured, which have also been revealed. So they go in. They don't go get him because he's one of our assets, right? But we roll over his southern property line after bombing the crap out of him. He concedes. He gets another, 12 years or so? But then there was that other event in Oklahoma City. We know that stinks to high heaven. There's the other event in New York City, both in 93 and 2001. Totally orchestrated in 93, admitted that the device was built by the FBI, who accidentally, this is New York Times, accidentally put real explosives in it. Any person with an IQ knows the events of 2001 were not the official story. Amen. Who was all involved? Who did what when? We got some names. It seemed like we have some logical connections there. We don't know. But we know what it was for. Zygmunt Brzezinski laid it out in his book, The Grand Chess Game. 1997, he writes a book saying we have to invade the Middle East and get control of all that oil because all of our dollars are based on the sale of a barrel of oil. OPEC breaks the dollar, U.S. dollar exclusivity in 2000. Amy Poehler's in a skit on SNL playing the dollar, where all the other currencies are saying, you know, sorry, you're no longer the biggest currency. They made a skit on SNL to tell you what was going on. Fast forward a year, basically, and we have that event. Then that gives us the pretext to go over there, invade, create this invisible enemy that we can't find, this invisible boogeyman who sits around for 9 years. He was pronounced dead in December of the same year as the attack. I was up late at night watching the Pentagon briefing that said he died of kidney dialysis problems. You got that flight that falls out of the air in New York. Not sure what that's all about, but the Navy fleet was doing missile exercises in the bay that day. Could have been an accident, I guess. Was it Flight 800? I met a dude in Hawaii on Oahu on Waikiki Beach. He had 30-plus years experience. He was on call that night. He was taking care of a radar sector right next to Flight 800, and he said, the Navy shot that thing out of the sky, and we were told to cover it up. Mistakes happen, but goddamn, right? So the military-industrial complex, which Eisenhower warned us about, JFK kind of warned us about it, very, very real. Whoever runs that place controls the destiny of a big portion of what happens in the world. America keeps getting more and more insanely powerful, weapon-wise. Europe, not so much. Britain, they got some pride. They come up with some pretty cool planes every once in a while and some pretty cool, like, isolated technology. But with a population of, 60 million, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about having a big army? You can't. You don't have enough people to have a gigantic army. And yet, boy, there's a lot of control in that little island. So that one is sort of a bipartisan doorway that is designed to stop you. Almost as if you get through all the other doors and you go walk past them and you don't stop. It's like they send the rep out to talk to you in the hallway to stop you before you get through those crashing doors. Can I help you? Have you seen the military-industrial complex? So what happens when you go through the doors? Who's on the other side of those doors? Well, real simple. The bankers. The bankers are on the other side of that door. And not in just some, we hate people that have money and so we're jealous of them, blah, blah, blah. Not even close, man. Not even close. You've known rich people your whole life and you haven't hated them. They're called celebrities. Sure, you're envious and all that stuff, but you know how it works, man. I think what happens, just as a slight digression, is that there'll be a person who is not as attractive as a supermodel, and for whatever reason, the way that they want to be popular, the way that they want to make their money is 100% in the modeling industry. Perhaps they're 100 pounds overweight. It's all bad choices on their part. Perhaps the family line for this particular era in history isn't considered to be pretty by society. Just give it some time. Your face will rotate through, and you'll be the most beautiful person, the most handsome person. It happens. So those people can get into hatred in that level, which is like, well, why don't you go off and be rich in some other method? Because, you know, just give you a silly example. If you want to make the same amount of money as a supermodel, other than certain, like, Heidi Klum and very, was it Tyra Banks and those kind of people that might become billionaires, very rare. Martha Stewart was a model. So, yeah, there's certain things, but these people use other means to get totally, totally rich. Television shows, really, it's where it's at, right? So we're not talking about those kind of bankers or those kind of envious algorithms of human condition. We're talking about people that you may not even know their names. 80% of the Federal Reserve, which is a private for profit bank, although under Trump they changed it to .gov, which looks like some shit's happening, man. But prior to that, they're private for profit. 80% of the members are hidden. My mother worked for them for 20 plus years. Couldn't possibly see anything evil with the organization. My mother, who's got a master's in business administration and teaches it and teaches economics in college, told me to my face that fractional reserve banking is not even a term that they use in economic conversations, that it doesn't even exist. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting how someone can be so duped? I mean, you just watch videos with the most brilliant lecturers in the economy. That's what they call it. They explain how it works. If people were completely wrong, like the Zeitgeist dude, chapter one of Zeitgeist talks all about it, don't you think there'd be a billion economists to come in and go, you are such a liar, this doesn't exist, da 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 da. Oh, it exists. So you have two tiers of banking. You have, you know, and we're not even talking about the tellers and the presidents of these banks. Not even close. Not even close. But you have families that were founded off banking. Founded off banking. The Rothschilds get a lot of publicity because they were extremely successful from the 1770s and up. I mean, brilliant family, five kids, and they all run out and dominate five sectors of Europe and England. Battle of Waterloo turns over all the finances of England to the Rothschilds. But there's other stories that people don't follow, which is the infiltration of Russia, infiltrations of the United States of America. By the mid-1800s, to give you an example, their published wealth was $6.5 billion by the 1850. Amortized up for like 4%, that's quadrillions of dollars. People will tell you that it's old money, they don't have that money anymore, which is just a joke, and I'll tell you why. And you know this, but maybe you haven't put the dots together. I mentioned this before. There has never been in history a cataclysmic moment where the Rothschilds lost their money. Had they lost their money through some cataclysmic bad investment or something, a bunch of their family members die in some boating accident or something, maybe they should have faked such a thing to erase themselves from history, right? Well, they control everything. And they're apparently not the richest family in the world. But they'd be worth quadrillions of dollars at this point. They would have amassed more wealth than has ever been printed, ever accounted for, all countries combined. So obviously there's a point where money is just something they print. All right. But Jesus turned over, in the story of Christ, turned over the money changer tables in the temple, right? Okay. That means that money changing existed in the time of Christ. For someone to even write that down in verse, doesn't matter if it was real or not. It shows you how far back the exchange of paper for gold bars goes. It goes back a long way. So the Rothschilds, in that perspective, are 1,770 years late to that game, which begs the notion the senators of the Roman Empire, a Caesar. There were families way, way before the Rothschilds controlling everything. There were groups of alignment. You have your Templars. You have your bankers. They went against each other. That Friday the 13th day was the day that the Templars had to run from the money changers. They set up a bunch of their staff to get killed, making it look like they all got wiped out and they fled to Scotland. And eventually resurfaced and built America, which is why we're so Masonic over here. My grandfather was a Mason in Chanute, Kansas. We have no idea what that meant. My dad never talked about him doing anything in the organization. It's usually a place to go eat pancakes and ride in funny cars. The Shriners were in the same building, I believe. So I had to pay $15 to Topeka, Kansas Mason Group to get my grandfather's papers. And in this climate, I'm not going to do it. Somebody said I'm making Mason hand signals. All I got to see is give that shit a break, would you? Seriously. So someone fucking claims every hand gesture that the human body can make, and now all of a sudden everybody just fucking lives and moves their hands as part of a Mason group. Oh, you superior thing, you. I suppose in your entire lifetime, when you talk to someone in gesture, you're not making the same thing. No, you just don't have an asshole on the other side of the room going, see, you're a Mason. And you're like, what? Knock that shit off. That's some fucking lowbrow stupid shit. I got neighbors who wear aprons, all right? I'm not a part of that gang, but I tell you what, they do it because they want to be somebody. They want to be Nathan R. Johnson, man, in that phone book. We got four generations of my family, at least, fighting for freedom in this country. And the one that was a Mason never enlisted, okay? So who are these other families? Well, we got this other anomaly in that room, and we know that they exist, and we know that they have money, and we know how public their wealth has been published at times. And they're called royalty. Royalty is a way of a society elevating a particular family or group of families to this perceived high level, usually made out of things like stories like King Arthur and that kind of stuff. Some Jesus-like fable to say why that family's bloodline is better than yours. I'll tell you what it is in both categories. It's what I call those who got there first. Those who got there first get the spoils, man. Again, I'm from Kansas. Well, Kansas was a state before Oklahoma. When Oklahoma was going to get zoned for a state, there's something called the Sooners happen. The next day of this particular day, you were allowed to cross the border south in the designated zone of Oklahoma, the Panhandle. It's one that looks like a frying pan for those of you in Europe. And you could just stake off land. As long as you could stake it off and protect it with your horses, that land was just instantaneously yours, free of charge, man. So what happens? The Sooners are the people that went over before they shot the, gun to say start. And they'd already marked off a bunch of land. Cheaters. Scumbag cheaters. All right. Well, a few generations passed and nobody even remembers who was a Sooner and who wasn't. But you have a family line of cheaters. Enjoy that blood. So money changing in itself is not a crime, just like capitalism isn't a crime. The compound interest, aka usury, is the crime. I loan you money and the juice starts flowing, right? You owe me the money back plus interest. Every day that you can't pay me, you get an interest ding. It was considered more blasphemous than blasphemy, which was denying the existence of God in Jesus' time. That's why he turned over the tables of the money changers. And that's why when written into the Bible, even if it's more story than reality, if it is, people still believed it because it's true. But royalty, oh, that's a whole different game. Royalty is sitting exposed to the people. Bankers can hide. Bankers are the smart ones. They hide in the woodwork. If you've ever watched Boardwalk Empire on HBO with Steve Buscemi, there's a very, very profound scene where he goes to this local millionaire's house. I won't ruin anything for you, but he's got all these bankers in that room. And he's like, this is where I get my money. So if you want any benefits from me, Steve Buscemi, I got to get it from them. So this whole thing has to be, there's a plan going on that you're unaware of, basically, right? So what you will find is the narcissist becomes royalty. The smart person becomes a banker. Because the narcissist needs to be told, just like a little princess, that they're special. There is a reason why we use a royal word to describe a particular type of person in this world who needs all this attention for who they've become in life, right? Now, having had, I guess I still have, a friend of mine who's upper class. I met his father. His mother had passed by the time I met his father. His father's gone now, of course. He is not well right now, my friend. He's hanging in there. But his family is of this ilk. Not royalty necessarily. I'm willing to bet they were on the banker's side. His mother's family financed the World Trade Centers. Okay. Met these people when I was in 1989, man. They actually hired me to do the family crest over again, a ring. And so I started getting the data on the family, and it went back to 1525 fairly accurately. It was daunting. It was so much information. But the battles that this dude's uncles and great-great-great uncles and, you know, grandfathers and stuff had to endure was intense. And why was that? Because they were exposed. They were the families organizing the fighting, financed by the bankers. Now, there's a line out of Princess Bride I want to remind you of. But the real name for it is right in front of your face. The very beginning of Princess Bride, they kidnap the princess in the forest. And they're not going to hurt her, but they're going to ransom her back to her father. And she's sitting on a horse tied up. And the little inconceivable dude is tying a little piece of a flag to her saddle, which is the enemy. The enemy has no idea that this is occurring. So the two kingdoms that hate each other are going to be duped by a false flag moment. And he's putting that on her horse. And when asked about what he's doing, he says, this is a long and prestigious career. Creating these false flag events such that when she gets returned, the king gets pissed off and goes and attacks this other dude. They get ransom money in between. Right in front of your face. Brilliant. Beautiful. So you know what's going on. Erase that. Now, have you ever heard the phrase that the people who finance wars support both sides of the battle? They want to make money from both sides. Take Abraham Lincoln, but this has happened forever. Abraham Lincoln gets murdered for really one reason. I mean, you could imagine a few different reasons, but the big one is he pissed off the bankers. The South, the Democratic South, was actually Europe. Europe was infiltrating America from the bottom with all their slaves, and they were trying to take the North out, which is where our founding fathers lived, and it's the Republic. Well, wars cost a lot of money, so Lincoln needs money. As I read it in a book that I have, he tried to borrow money from the Rothschilds to finance the war. Now, it could have been through a proxy, but the book I said just mentioned him outright. And they said that they would loan him money, but they would loan it at 3,600% interest. Talk about usury. So he said, screw that. I'm just going to print money based on the gold reserves that we have in this country, and it's called the greenback. When he did that, the book that I have actually has newspaper clippings from newspapers written in, or at least letters written between economists, that basically says, if Europe finds out what he just did, we're done. Because they won't need our money-changing money. So they get this washed-up actor, John Wilkes Booth, promise him the world, He pops Link in the back of the head, escapes out the back of the theater, busts his ankle up a little bit. They put him on a boat, stuck him on an island off the coast of England, and apparently he wrote his family letters all the way up to the age of 70. They have the letters between bankers saying, I can get him from the theater to the coast safely. One guy says, I can get him from the coast of America over to the coast of England. And another guy says, I can put him up in a pad in an island off the coast of England. These people aren't stupid, man. They've been at this game a long time, right? So now the Queen of England, for instance, I believe the initial history I had read about her wealth, the family of Windsor, which is, you know, Saxe-Coburg, was that they own 45% of all the livable real estate in the whole world. At one point. That's mega bucks, man. But people don't understand sort of how the infiltration works. They'll have events where, you know, like the Queen of England, or at least the royalty of England, was beat by people like Mahatma Gandhi, who fasted until he broke their will. You think they cared that guy died? Really? Well, what ends up happening is India gets control over their military rule and their local district, but only after the banks have been created by the families of Europe. I mean, it could be some Russian people in there too, don't know. Doesn't matter. First world gets into your country, establishes banks, lets you put your local names on the banks so you feel like they're not European, right? China supposedly has at least 49 banks, all Rothschild-controlled, Rothschild-founded, with Chinese names on them. Okay, that's how it works. Before China was allowed in the Trilateral Commission, the Rothschilds, through the proxy of the Rockefellers, said, okay, well, we can make this other thing to kind of allow some representation from those areas. It's really bait. It's really a worm on a hook, man. Oh, you need to definitely chime in here and chime in there. I think China's made a name for themselves, for sure. But back in the day, Rothschild said, well, just make sure that I own all of their financial community. Because the famous Rothschild saying in the 1800s, because they just couldn't keep their mouth shut, man. They say, I care not who you vote for as long as I control your money. Because they know with controlling money, they control who you can vote for. So true. So true, right? Now, during the last 3.5 years, actually in October, it'll be 4 years, there was a document referenced, which is very interesting. And it was referenced at the Clown website. Most of you know what that means. And it was and my computer was about 400 and something, 98 pages or something. It was about the Pasteur family. I don't know. I mean, it came from this source. But it's related to this Nasara-Jasara theory, which who knows if that'll ever happen, which I'll also explain. And the specificity of Nasara-Jasara is fundamentally easy to understand, but then implementing it seems almost infinitely complex. So it's outside my pay grade, I'll tell you that much. But the Pasteur family apparently is the descendants of the French Revolution monarchy. I mean, the ones that got their heads cut off after the French Revolution, right? It was Cloris Leachman, right? But apparently when the French monarchy realized they were going to be in some trouble, the story goes that they sent a small child, a descendant of the family, direct descendant of the family, like a prince, to America. I think the story is he was about 7 years old when he got here, and by the age of 9, they inaugurated him a bit like King Tut, you know, a young prince. But when they sent the money over, it was so much money in the late 1700s that this kid was able to, with his entourage of adults, pretty much buy up every corporation as it was founded in the United States. So anything that was lucrative, they just bought it and kept it. And according to this document, which has a huge chart of, you know, connected Polaroids of who owns what, they own massive corporations like GE and that kind of stuff. Now, I don't know if this stuff is true. I do not have the time, nor I don't even know if I have the methodology to figure out who actually owns a corporation. Like, where do I ask? I mean, if you're a shareholder, you're supposed to know. But you have to keep going to these shell companies above and above and above. And I used to have this saying when people said, well, who runs the world? And I would say, well, go to a bank, a major bank, and ask who owns that bank. And then ask who owns that bank. And then who owns that bank, until you get to the top of the pyramid and you'll understand who owns everything, because it starts condensing down to fewer and fewer companies. Now, media could have been a doorway on your journey to the indoors, but it's really still a left-right argument, which is why I kind of lump it in there. So Nisara Jisara is all about the military. It had President 45 on it when it debuted in the community of this movement. It was all about seizing the wealth of the Pesur family and then using that wealth to pay down all of the national debt, to pay off all of our student loans, home loans, car loans, everything, and rethrow the banking system with new currency such that perhaps you have a fee to borrow money, but you don't have a compound interest. That's a big change, right? That's a huge change. Now, one might ask, okay, so you're in this room, and you need to understand there's a lot of royalty that doesn't show their face anywhere. I do believe that it is mathematically possible to have families that have royal designations in various countries, but they don't participate in any major way with sort of the goings-ons of everything, right? So that is possible. It may not be everyone who has the title prince or king or whatever is directly participating. Now, we have kings and princes of oil industry. I don't know if they invest in banks. I would if I were them. I mean, let's say you had $1 trillion worth of gross profit from what you're selling. Well, when you have that kind of money, you've got the kind of power to start a bank and then get 10 to 1 for the money you put in. Even if it's just $100 billion, multiply that times 10. And that's how much money you can have to loan out to other people if you're inside the world banking system. So there's a sort of thing going on right now in the United States, which is very, very interesting. One, I think, is probably fairly true and dead on, which is what I did an episode on called Royal Conditioning. The United States people are being inundated right now with the royal family of England, all their news, all their controversies, trying to get us to care. Sort of like an Apollo 13 script. Well, you didn't care about the moon missions? Well, now these guys might die. Oh my God, I got to pay attention now. Well, you don't care about the royal family? Oh, well, did you know that the youngest son married a black girl from America, and now they're getting ostracized, and he's angry with his brother, and the queen's upset with him, and, you know, just drama, drama, drama for your mama. What that gets you to do is subscribe to the paradigm that you're down here, and they're up there. Well, what happened to England? In the modern age, even in the freedom age, right? Because until America had freedom, Europe did not have any freedom. When they saw the experiment, they wanted a slice of it. But of course, the royalty of the world and the bankers of the world, they play the long game. They plan ahead hundreds of years. They strategize about how to turn everything around, and they're getting their way right now. Maybe they continue to get their way. Maybe they get spanked. Maybe a couple buildings in Gitmo get full. I don't know. We'll see. I'm breathing deeply in the meantime. But we're having these events. Barack Obama just had a party that seemed like he invited everyone that he intended to invite, which is about 600 people. Seems like the same number of people showed up. Nobody wore masks. Everybody's together. Everyone's hugging, drinking. A bunch of people were there who we know for a fact have claimed that they are not vaccinated. Okay, all right. Seems like it cured itself. But people are missing the larger turn here. Because during this whole lockdown thing, what, the governor from Michigan, her husband went off on a boating trip. Gavin Newsom's run his winery and done a few other things, gone to dinner, photographed. Fauci went to a baseball game, especially after writing all those emails, but certain things don't work. And now you should take HCQ to cure yourself. Those are his emails, not mine. I've read them. I know that's exactly what they say. All right. Well, why is that? The reason why all these things are happening, in my opinion, is it's teaching you class structure, which is exactly what England had big time. There's a lot of theories on class structure because a lot of people say, well, whether you acknowledge it or not, it exists. I think they get things confused. I do think that America has plenty of class structure, but it really boils down to one thing in America. Well, I should say two. At the private sector, it's about how much money do you have to defend yourself in court. Now, you don't always win. Well, most of the time you do when you got big bucks. But there's a bunch of bambinos that are in prison for life because they had tons, infinite cash, really, when it comes to attorneys. But they still were found guilty. At the politician level, oh boy, we got a couple laptops out there that should have put people in jail for life, if not even worse outcomes. But they're free. So what the politicians are trying to show you is, I don't have to do this, but you do. I control you. Now, what kind of narcissistic gene pool would ever want that on another group of people? Yeah, the only way I could even understand it for a second would be if we were all of us, were completely feral creatures. If they had just come here from another planet and found us all living in caves, and they're like, okay, well, they can't have the amenities that we have because they would use a kitchen fork to kill somebody. You know, I mean, you know, you just got to be careful. But we're not that way. Sure, there's a lot of videos out there where you can see hundreds of people, if not thousands of people, behaving badly. Those are pockets of people who are yet to ascend to basically a civilized level of behavior. They'll get there. But if we just maintain the country that we built, at least the United States, well, we can control that. There's all kinds of ways to control that. So now I promised you that there's a thread between all these doorways and the last door. We've already said it in a political realm. I don't care who you vote for as long as I control your money. Okay. Well, we know for a fact that everybody who sells out their country does what? Sells out their country. They take money to sell out you, me, everybody. They take money. There's only one other commodity that's out there, and that is class structure. They want to be seen as that elevated group of people because they have something wrong with them on the inside. They don't feel as important as other people. So this is the way they get it. All of the, I should say, publishers, all of the personalities on TV from the 1950s with Project Mockingbird, they just sold them status. Would you like a seat on the CFR? Would you like to speak at the UN? Would you like to seem important to other people? How about a group photograph with this other narcissist just like you? Sometimes that's all it takes. So that's the first tier. They get money to sell out their people, or they get status to sell out their people. And usually that's what it takes for the upper echelon of this world, the more educated people, to immediately flip over. The next tier down is converting the lowbrow, which is, you're not going to really get elevated, but we're going to make you feel like you got elevated. You want to be part of the club, right? And this is where celebrities get duped. What does a celebrity do? Well, it depends on what kind of celebrity they are. Musicians usually toil and toil and toil until they get a following, and then they become an influencer. When they become an influencer, way before the internet, they look at the message, they do the math to see if they can convert that person with money. When they can't, they go to the next tier down, which is threatening them or killing them. But they'll try to give them something. Actors, although, you know, talented in what they do, they speak other people's lines most of the time, unless they write their own movie. Well, there's a point where we love them for doing that, but they don't look in the mirror and go, I am truly complete. They know I only can act in a great movie if I get a great script. I just watched the Val Kilmer documentary on Prime, which was pretty excellent, man. He was, I think, talking to Lipton, the guy that does those interviews. I think that's his name. But he said in this interview, he goes, what's odd about it is at the end of my career, I felt like he wasn't at the end of his career, but you know, he had definitely done the lion's share of his movies. He says, I don't really feel like I ever acted the lines that I wanted to act, that I never really achieved the character on film that I wanted to really, that really matched who I was as a person, he said. But he goes, I can't really say that to my fellow actors because some of them are unemployed and I look like a baby whining. What's odd is when he was in Juilliard, he wrote his own play that got picked up and he did quite a few performances and he was acting his own lines and they loved it. Apparently his one-man show, being Mark Twain, was also his creation. And before he could get the movie done, he had the little burper put in his throat, right? But he's a very humble man, at least as portrayed in the documentary. So hopefully he sticks in there. He's got a good family and a good base. But what do we mention in those hallways, man? Every single organization is either completely paid for in terms of like dissidents, protesters, most of the time. Now there's some homegrown folks that fight that. Their spirit is in the right place. Whether or not they behave well is up to each individual event. As to whether or not they get provoked by provocateurs. Military? Well, just depends, man. When you're in the military, being promoted for most people is something that's of interest, right? You have your non-commissioned officer promotions and you have your officer promotions. I think in my experience being in the military, I saw far less concern about promotion with NCOs and an almost life dedication in the officer realm. So say you're a Colin Powell. You want to go all the way to the tippy-tippy top. Depending on his past, well, that would be, you know, he could have come from a ghetto. Who knows, man? I mean, you know, a lot of us did. A poor way of living. It's okay. I mean, you got what you need, but you want more and you want more. And now you're being celebrated by people who you never thought you would even meet. And he goes in with the head of the clown organization behind him, telling him to say to the public that weapons of mass destruction was 100% existed in Iraq, and that's why we have to invade again. Turned out to be a big, big, bold-faced lie, let's put it that way. So this is what you do. You sell out your soul because you sell out humanity. You sell out God. Now, they know that the fear of God actually does help the good side. It does. So what have they done to religion lately? Well, for decades and decades and decades, it gets demonized, demonized, demonized. And I will say that the church communities have 100% helped them without even trying, without being paid. People rock around and tell you you're going to hell. People judging you constantly. You get divorced and you're kicked out of the church, right? I mean, just they make it easy. Because at some point, the algorithms don't match any fundamental definition of God himself. You're like, what? Like, God would never care about that. Pay on to Caesar. What is? You think God cared about that line in the Bible? You really do? So they want to demonize it as much as possible and launch a whole other church that is basically the opposition, 100%. Oh, care about people? No, this other church says don't care about anybody but yourself. The temporary flesh that you have control over is just a tiny, infinitely small blip in your life cycle as a being in the universe, right? In the last year and a half, who got the penalties right away for trying to go to church? In the midst of all this bad science, the churches. It got so insane that in Southern Bible Belt communities, where churches have shortwave radios to broadcast to parking lots, these people who live with their family members all day long, they're locked in their homes, got in their cars in covered garages, opened the door with the remote, drove to the parking lot, didn't open the windows, turned the radio on to get the message, and cops wrote them tickets as if they presented any threat to anybody. It happened on 45's watch, too. That should show you how they have also built a role called President of the United States and then cut that role's balls off a long time ago. Should be the President of the United States could stop such a thing, but he can't. Should be that he goes to the DOJ and says, investigate this man, and I'm making it public. I'm not going to do it behind anyone's back. And they should do it. That's not the way it works, right? Because there's all kinds of layers. Now, we do want checks and sums. We don't want a king. We don't want someone who's a dictator. But, you know, keep it all public. Get public support. The public barely votes on anything, right? Because we send our representatives. Well, you know why you needed representatives back in the day? Because we don't have a blockchain voting system. Imagine that. You got to prove who you are, and you could vote on something. I think we should investigate that laptop. Or whatever. Some assisted living places in New York seem to have massive fatality rates. I think we should investigate that. I think foundations that are caught abducting children, I think those should be investigated. I think an island that's rumored to have a bunch of bad things going on should be descended on by the U.S. military, and we should investigate that. Hey, if we find nothing, we find nothing. And even if they blew the place up with demolition, doesn't matter. You still have the evidence of rooms, of people living there, doing stuff. I bet the forensics would be amazing if we just dig the place up. Don't know. If those rumors are true or not. But wouldn't it be nice to just definitively know? So don't let the hall of blame stop you from finding out who's responsible for everything. It's all financial, man. It's all financial. They want you to get this drink. They want to force the drink on you. They want to force it on you so you can't go to any place you normally go without it, without proof that you got it. When all the clinical outcomes of getting it are just awful. So how are they going to do it? They're strong-arming you financially. And they're just getting started, man. This is sort of a big picture of the whole thing. So that you have the mechanism and the foundation to do your own research, figure things out. Go see my episode on the Titanic conspiracy so you understand a little murder that happened on that boat, which was actually the Olympic. Once you research it, it'll blow your mind, man. It'll blow your mind what really happened when that boat went down. There was two senators trying to come back to stop the 16th Amendment, and they were murdered. These people play for keeps, man. We owe it to ourselves to get educated as much as possible. And what's interesting is every single one of you knows someone, somehow, first degree, second degree, third degree, who have information on this. When I watched Michael Rupert's video he created about the event of September 2001, he told me a bunch of financial things through his presentation he did at University of Oregon, which I believe was on like October, November, right after it happened. And so I went to my mom, who worked for the Federal Reserve, and because I was totally asleep, and I said, well, I didn't tell her where I got the information, but I asked question after question, is this true? Is this true? Is this true? Got it all back, yes, 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 yes. So when I was able to put the dots together, I was like, wow, a person who thinks they're working for a angelic organization just confirmed the demonic intent of the entire foundation of the United States of America as being a money laundering corporate system. No. I'll just share one piece of information that I still share with friends and it blows their mind because I thought this for sure wouldn't be the case. In the United States of America, if you deposit, say, $11,000 in cash, or whatever, $11,000 in checks, whatever, at one point, but especially cash at your local bank. They have an obligation to tell, I believe, the FBI and the SEC, Security and Exchange Commission, that you just did that, but especially the FBI. Because you could be a drug dealer. You could be laundering money somehow. Cash, 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 right? Now, the stupid thing is, you know, you put a couple fives in there, I think you're okay. But there's probably some algorithms in there to watch. And it's not necessarily a crazy idea. A buddy of mine in high school told me way 20 years later that he had made like $80,000 in high school and deposited all in the bank. And they came and picked him up. And now he's a cop. Clockwork Orange, anybody? But let's say you and I create a corporation in America and we get it public on the New York Stock Exchange. Apparently, we can drive up a semi with $1 billion in cash, move it straight into a large bank, and nobody has to report anything.
Oh.
Class system?
Oh, yeah.
It's built into some of our legal processes. So we need to be careful. What we think we know and what we don't know, right? So hopefully this was entertaining for you guys. This is a big one. This is a fundamental one for everyone to study. Try to add more doors. Try to add more paradigms. And then when people are in front of you, what's been great is, I just coined this phrase to a friend of mine, the hall of blame. Now I can say it. Now I can say, well, you're falling for the hall of blame. We all fall for that. And they go, what is that? And then you explain it to them, boom, boom, boom. And then the people who are at the end are the people that actually have control of everything. It goes down pretty good. I never had anybody go, oh, that's ridiculous. They all know. They all know. But you're connecting some dots for them. And it exposes the algorithm of manipulation. So on that note, if you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. I'm going to let it all let you explore that. But it's got a nice search field. And again, if you think I haven't done an episode, just type in the one keyword from it and you'll be surprised. I did it 2 or 3 years ago. But in the comments, you know, if you've got other ideas for episodes, please lay it on me. We're about to finish up season 6 here. We're going to go into bonus mode after that, so the episodes will continue coming out. I just want to say to all the PayPal and Patreon folks, thank you. You're getting the credits, you get the episodes faster, and you get fireside chats that no one else gets. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I will see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over and out.